Happy Thursday, and welcome to Sports Look. Great to have you along with us here this evening on CARE Radio. Great to have our Sports Look sponsors. Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Wow, the upcoming CARE Radio sports schedule. Gus, here we are. High school football season underway, and tomorrow night, on the road with the Phoenix. So it's going to be a good time. Saturday afternoon, Benedictine will play its second game of the year, and it's going to be back at home as they will have Clark coming into town. So Clark has got a long bus ride ahead of him. Man,
something about Clark and a long trip, right? Maybe we'll get into that later.
Ravens are hoping it's a long bus ride home, but we'll talk about that as well. Well, let's just kind of dive into this thing. Wow, it's exciting. High school football has been underway. A lot of the fans have been waiting for this for about 250 days now, and we are getting with it. We will be in Ottawa, Kansas, as it will be Atchison and Ottawa, the Cyclones in Phoenix. We got to watch them last year in game number one up here at Amelia.
Yeah, that was a game where Atchison didn't have a whole lot of problems with Ottawa. Ottawa was able to kind of fight themselves back in it a little bit early in the fourth quarter, but the Phoenix coming off a great season last year where, you know, they made the playoffs inevitably. They got a ways before falling to what, St. James Academy in the playoffs. So, going to turn over the roster just a little bit, but bring back a lot of parts from last season's team. So, yeah, it should be fun to catch Atchison, and we talk about Ottawa as a team who we're just not used to seeing every year, so it's kind of fun to see a team from away from here.
It's going to be a great start for the Meadowlark Conference, as you're going to find teams like Harmon. They're going to be traveling to Schlegel Friday night. It'll be Washington at home. They play host to Sumner, and Highland Park is going to head over to KCK, and they'll be at Wyandotte. Looking at the Northeast Kansas League, well, the teams around the area going to have Atchison County, Marhelmatt Academy, Horton, JCN, all at home this week to start the season. You like starting at home, or do you rather start one on the road and have your home games still to look forward to?
I didn't really have a preference. I mean, play it wherever, just hope to win, right? But probably playing on the road for week one wasn't bad, because then it meant you were going to have, you know, more home games as the season progressed. So, yeah, I guess if you're going to put me against it, I would say probably on the road for week one.
Atchison County will be at home, though, and they're going to have, with their new coaching staff, they are going to have Valley Falls coming in. Valley Falls is a team that's still in that transition back to 11-man football.
Yeah, so they were 11-man, then they went to 8-man, and once it felt like they were really starting to get a good grasp of the 8-man game, boom, they bumped back up to 11-man, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is now their second year, right, back at 11-man.
So that's right,
yes. We got to see them last year as we went up to Horton and watched them play Horton for that homecoming game. But, yeah, a lot of athletes, but, again, trying to figure out that transition back to 11-man football.
Coach Fredrickson is going to have his Ravens at Marhelmatt Academy at home up at Guy Galley Field, and Marhelmatt Academy is going to be hosting the Oskaloosa Bears Friday night.
And I know the schedules change every year, and, like, they'll turn over every handful of years. But it feels like Oskaloosa, Marhelmatt Academy has been the first game like for like what seems like forever. Right? Yeah. It just feels like they have kind of been in that lull of those two playing in week one, and you can almost bet on it. Marhelmatt Academy looking to put together a good start to the season. What better way to do it than home with the Bears?
Yeah, and it seems like this game, I don't know, it seems like this game is always high scoring and one of the late games to get over, because it takes a while to put a lot of points up on the board. It will be Horton at home, and they've got the Cobras of Jackson Heights coming into town.
That's a game that will get over quickly, in the sense of Jackson Heights isn't going to throw the football, right? I mean, they're going to keep the ball on the ground. They like to keep the clock running. And Horton, over the last few years, has been a team that's been okay running the ball, too. So, yeah, that game, I expect it to probably be a little lower scoring and a lot of, like a fast game, because they're going to run the ball so much.
Game that they're going to be a lot of eyes around the conference on is going to be down in Winchester, because you've got Coach Snyder down there, Jefferson County North, and they're playing host to Pleasant Ridge, a great rival, close geographically, and Pleasant Ridge with a new head coach also and new staff.
Yeah, Pleasant Ridge with the new coaching staff, and can I tell you, it kind of twist my mind a little bit to figure that Easton and Winchester aren't very far apart.
No, literally right? A few miles.
For me, I don't know why, but it feels weird that they are so close.
It's like in the big cities when you're 5 minutes away from your next opponent.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same.
It should be a great game. That at JCN and Coach Snyder looking to build on last season, plus Ridge. Anytime you get a new coaching staff, you don't know what to expect. Like before, you would say, okay, this is the offense you expect to see, this is the defense you expect, but it'll be interesting to see what Pleasant Ridge does this year.
It's a tough prep.
Yeah.
And then the Buffaloes are going to be at home, and they're going to be hosting McLeod. Now, that's quite a long road trip. You talk about the close one with Pleasant Ridge and JCN. From McLeod to Onega, I don't think you can do it in 2 hours.
I don't even know exactly how you go about getting from point A to point B, right? Like, I mean, that's one of those things. Sometimes I like to go, I wonder what path do you take to get to that school? There's no great way to get from McLeod, Kansas to Onega, Kansas, right? But Onega, much like Valley Falls we talked about just a moment ago, who, you know, was 11 and 8. Well, that's what Onega did. They've been 8-man for a while. Now they're bouncing back into that 11-man arena. And so that should be a game that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, so all these high schools around the area getting underway, get at the websites, come to mscsports.net, check the schedule, pull out your pigskin preview. They're still out there. Yeah, I think there's some. People have been grabbing them up, so get one of those and you'll have all those schedules in. Again, here at Care Radio, Gus and I are headed down to Ottawa, Atchison and Ottawa High School. That said, we're going to take our first break of the evening sports look here on Care Radio. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio. Happy to have you with us. And Gus, the Benedict and Ravens got their season underway up at Wilcox Stadium last Saturday, playing arguably the best team in the nation, certainly one of the top couple. And man, it was a great game, exciting game, came right down to the last 50-some seconds, but Morningside able to sneak away with a road win to start the year.
Yeah, when you walk away from that game, there were a lot of similarities between those two teams. You look at the stats, there were some things that you really like to see. If you're the Ravens, there's some things that you can walk away with, too, and you can say, man, if we work on just a couple little things, we're right there. And I think for me, I thought you walk away from week one and say, BC's got a really good defense, right? Like, that defense is going to be something to be dealt with this year in the conference. And then it's about getting the ball to your playmakers on offense. And you've got a lot of those back. It's just a matter of kind of just getting in the groove and feeling good about the offense. Because both teams on Saturday ran 69 plays. The difference was you saw, Benedictum for about 222 yards, Morningside for 405 yards, both of them with 69 plays. And you say, but Morningside, and you're talking about this Raven defense, they gave up 405 yards. They were opportunistic. They took the ball away when they needed to. I just felt like they were the strong suit of this team in week one.
Yeah, and Morningside did not turn out to be the team that I expected to see, or I would maybe think the Ravens expected to see, because traditionally a team throwing the ball and throwing it very well. They brought in a wildcat kind of a quarterback who was our leading receiver from last year, who not only ran for 124 but then threw for another 122. So he had a big day for Morningside. For the Ravens, again, they're working through the quarterback, trying to figure out who's going to be their guy. Jackson Dooley got the most reps in the course of the game, throwing for 159 yards. And Dalton Witherspoon on 22 carries, 50 yards of rushing for BC to lead the way.
And if you're Morningside, they did the one thing that if you want to win games, don't punt the ball a whole lot. And they had fewer punts on the day, Benedict, and 8 punts on the afternoon. That's a little too much, especially when you talk about your punter only had 39 punts, I think, all of last season. So, again, week one, you walk away with some things to work on, and I think that it'll be a different team on Saturday.
Yeah, no question about it. And so with that said, we should probably take a little bit of a look at the Heart of America Athletic Conference and things going on with the Heart over the last week, as I try to remember how to get that page to pop back up here.
Yeah, so games that happened around...
Oh, I had it for a second and then it jumped away. I'll get it.
Games that happened around the conference last week was Midland went to Clark. Midland gets a win. 22-14. You had Graceland at home being able to handle Doan 42-17. Mount Marty was home with Culver Stockton, and Mount Marty gets a 28-23 victory. Hastings went down to Peru State, and Hastings wins 37-31 in overtime. And in overtime, Mid-America knocked off Langston 24-21.
Yeah, so all that said, for let's look at Clark, since they're going to be the upcoming opponent for Benedictine. Clark, total offense in the ball game, they threw for 210 and rushed for 135. So, you know, they had a nice blend of things. They completed just a little less than half of their passes for 7 yards a pass. They rushed for over 3 yards per rush, which was more than Benedictine had in the course of last week. But 8 punts in the course of the game. So, again, you used that as a thing a moment ago. Here's the one thing for Clark, and the thing that really tells me a big there's a problem here, 12 penalties.
Yeah.
Holy camoli.
12 penalties for 135 yards is an issue, you know. And, yeah, you forced only 1 punt on the evening. There were things, you know, but now they only allowed 1 sack for that many dropback passes, so you're okay with that. You're good on 4th down, 3 of 3, but you'd like to not know how good you are on 4th down, right?
No, that would be ideal, you know, typically, you'd think so.
So, yeah, Clark playing a Midland team. Well, I'm going to tell you, in the past, Midland has not been a very good football program, so might be better this year. I am not going to put a whole lot of stock in it. Clark, though, we talked about it a second ago, they are a program with a new head coach, right? They had Coach Reggs for the first handful of years while they started the program. Then, of course, he goes back home to Baker, and then you kind of hit the reset button on the program.
This week, it's going to be a full slate of games in the Heart of America Athletic Conference. 6 games, 2 of them in the afternoon at 1 o'clock. Not only the Benedictine at Clark game, which, of course, you'll be hearing on Care Radio with the pregame at about 12:45 and a kickoff at 1. You're going to have the other afternoon game in St. Louis, as it'll be William Penn traveling over to Missouri Baptist, as Mo Baptist will have its initial game in the conference. It's kind of a landmark outing.
That has potential to be just ugly game, right?
Maybe.
William Penn hasn't been very good, and Missouri Baptist is probably one of the worst teams, you know, in the conference. And so, yeah, there's a chance that that's not the best of games. But for William Penn also, it's a chance to get some games under your belt with, you know, first-year head coach who came over from Avila last season.
The rest of the games in the conference are going to be at 6 o'clock. Down in Baldwin City, it'll be Peru State at Baker. Central Methodist will be at home, and Graceland should have no issue with them. You're going to find Culver Stockton going to Missouri Valley. Can Missouri Valley win a conference game this year?
Yeah.
This is going to be one of their few opportunities.
No.
And then rounding it out, here's going to be a pretty good game. We're going to learn a lot from the game between Grandview and Mid-America that's going to be played down in Olathe Saturday night.
There were 6 games in the conference this week, right?
Correct, yes.
And, again, Benedictine, I'm not feeling worried about Clark as a Raven fan, and I didn't feel bad about Morningside either, right? Like, we're kind of that eternal optimist that every game you're going to win.
I always think they're going to win.
If I said, here's a ticket to any game in the conference, there's only one game, right? It's the Grandview Mid-America game. No other game in the conference.
Let's say the night game. Let's say if you want to get a night game.
Yeah, but there's not a game.
You could be there.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time.
Easy. But Culver Stockton, Missouri Valley does nothing for me. And Graceland Central Methodist does nothing for me. Peru Baker, I think. Like, that could be a closer game than it should. You're also going to maybe find out if Baker's any good, right? Because Peru is not. And so if Peru comes away with a win there, like, this could be a season of just, like, go through the motions so you get to the playoffs.
Well, that all said, full slate of games around the conference. And again, looking forward to bringing you the Ravens Saturday afternoon. It'll be Benedictine at home with Clark. And we'll see how the Pride turn out and travel. If they travel as well as Morningside, I'll be stunned, because Morningside brought a lot of fans. We're going to be back Our next segment we're going to visit with, as we're going to be doing through the course of this football season, Raven players, and allowing you to have an opportunity to learn a little bit about them and meet them. We'll have Luke Laskowski, BC's starting quarterback from last week, going to be joining us. That and more. Sports Talk continues right after this. We've got Luke Laskowski with us, Benedictine quarterback. And Luke, first of all, it's so good to talk to you, man. How's it going?
Going great. Just got out of fall camp, and thanks for having me.
Okay, we're just got to start, like at the very beginning. Give me the Luke bio. Although most of us know, but for a lot of people listening, may not, the where you're from, the siblings, things like that.
Yep, so I'm from Baldwin City, Kansas, the heart of Baker University. So this is actually my sixth year. I just graduated last semester with a degree in civil engineering. Got both parents at home. I've got an older brother. Just excited to be here for one last season.
Older brother, was he athletic as well?
No, he didn't do athletics. He's a dentist right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're an old bulldog then?
Yep, Baldwin.
Tell me, how good was your high school team now? Be honest.
We were good my senior year. We lost by 1 point in the first round. Still think about that a little bit, but, close the yearbook a little bit and just move past it.
When people talk about Luke, they say, wow, how did Benedictine land a guy who's born and raised Baldwin City? So is there a story here? And maybe tell me a little bit about the recruitment. Who recruited you? Who was your recruiter and how'd you get here?
Yeah, so actually I got a call from Coach Gartmar one night, and that was the first guy that exposed me to Benedictine College and then got me up on my recruiting visit. And actually, Baker never said a word to me. They never talked to me once. And so I came up here on my first visit, got to see the campus, facilities, the coaches, and just knew it was home.
And you were always hoping that you were going to be playing, college football somewhere?
Yep. Yeah. My goal in high school was always to play college football.
And in high school, were you playing both sides of the ball, or were you quarterback only? Tell me about your high school play.
My junior year was the first year that I played quarterback, and I played quarterback on offense, and then I played corner on defense. We went through a coaching change going into my senior year, and he just strictly had me playing quarterback, no defense.
And what kind of an offense was it?
We had like a wing tee, spread out a little bit. It was a mix of a lot of things. We were a lot of power my junior year, then we spread it out a little bit more my senior year.
As you came into Benedictine, you found yourself playing alongside and with a longtime starting quarterback. It's kind of a tough situation, but it's also like the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre kind of a thing, Steve Young, Joe Montana kind of thing. You're working with the guy, but you're going to have to wait your turn, and that's not always the easiest thing to do. And so people are very proud of how you've done that. Tell me about how that experience was.
Yeah, no, it's it can definitely be tough at times, but it's about the team. It's not about yourself. So the positives out of it is I'm able to sit in the quarterback room and digest what's going on throughout the seasons, grow my IQ off the field so that when, for instance, my chance happens this year, then I'm ready to go when the time comes. So working with Garrett was great. Me and him are still really good friends. We talk all the time. And being able to learn from him, Coach Osborne, really makes me think that I'm ready for this year.
Luke Laskowski with this Benedictine quarterback. And, Luke, you have been here now, as you mentioned, for a few years. You've seen the change, the handing of the torch from one coaching staff to the other. Kind of compare and contrast him. What are the differences between how it was and how it is?
Oh, man. So there's some big differences. My first three years here with Coach Wilcox were great. We ran a completely different offense at the time, but still the standard was still held each and every day. Transitioning into Osborne was actually a lot smoother than a lot of people thought it was going to be. The standard was still withheld, definitely a more complex offense, and we were able to adapt to it pretty quickly. Being able to work with Osborne and Coach Wilcox has been a blessing. And I'm glad that I stayed here during the transition and everything that went on and just ready to go.
Okay, let's talk about you're working with Coach Osborne. Coach Wilcox, offensive-minded guy, and had his style that worked very well for him. Coach Osborne, a little different style, as you indicated, and as a former quarterback. Coach Wilcox is not a quarterback, okay? Coach Osborne is a former quarterback. Certainly that's got to be, you know, it's got to be a little bit different because you and he maybe, you know, on the same wavelength and speaking the same kind of jargon.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. When we're watching film together, it's easy to talk to him because he sees the stuff that we see on the field. Obviously, like you said, he played quarterback in college, so helping me going through my growing, making my reads, being the leader of the offense has definitely been helpful to me coming from him as well since he has already been through it himself.
It's more of an RPO offense, right?
Yeah, we're diving into a lot of RPOs right now. So it's been a little different than last year. We're still we ran RPOs last year. We might have hyped it up a little bit more now. But still on offense, we're going to still see having the same mindset and we should keep attacking.
As a quarterback, do you like having to have all of there's a lot of weight on your shoulders, man. The decisions are yours which way this play goes. You like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Coach Osborne says that every day, just do your 111th. And when you narrow it down to just doing your job on the field, it can take a lot of stress off your shoulders. And just being able to, you know your reads, know what your role is, so just to distribute the ball where it needs to go, it makes it a lot easier on you.
You consider yourself more of a runner, a thrower, combination kind of a guy. Where do you feel like the Luke Laskowski's strength really lies?
Oh, man, I've been all over the board. High school, I was 50-50. I'd say I'm more of a thrower. I have the ability to use my legs, though, when I need to. I enjoy running. I enjoy running the ball, but, you know, putting the ball in the air, I love to do as well.
And so you will step up in that pocket and let those guys, because you've got some guys with some legs that can go downfield. Those receivers are fantastic.
Yep. No, step up in the pocket, make the throw and take the hit. You know, that's part of the job.
As a guy who's played a lot of football, high school, and now multiple years in college, you've got to look back and say, gosh, I've had some role models, some guys that I've looked at, some guys who were really important to me in my development as a player. Who would some of those guys be? Who would be maybe, you know, as a high school kid or a young guy when you said, man, this is the guy I want to be?
Man, I'd have to say, at a high level, Peyton Manning, you know, being able to see him on just completely work an offense, you know, be a complete leader out there. And he's a guy that doesn't run very well, but yet he's still making the right reads, getting out of situations, putting his offense in the best situations as possible on the field. Just being able to watch that guy on the field and see how he can conduct himself and try to take some of those characteristics into my play.
Can you and your brother, I mean, can you be like Peyton Eli? You got that going on?
No, we don't. No, we're not quite there yet.
When you get ready to go into a game, and certainly, you know, this season is long, 11 games, got a big one to start with, you know, with Morningside. How do you prep? I mean, are you one of those guys who has a set way of going through things? Do you have a routine? Maybe, you know, some things that you have to do. The left sock goes on first. What do you do?
I pretty much keep the same routine all year round. I mean, I wake up, I eat my breakfast, I go to class, I get my lunch, all that. The day before games, I try to stay pretty quiet. You know, don't get on the phone too much. Just really try to lock in and focus in on what's going in tomorrow. And, yeah, you know, we got Morningside coming up. We know they're a great program. They're going to be really well-coached and well-disciplined, but we're just going to treat it just like any other game.
Now, I'm trying to run the numbers through my head here. This is year 6 is 23. That means in 18 you were on the team.
Yep. So I was here when we played Morningside of the National Championship. That was my first year here.
Did you make the trip to Florida?
I did not, no. The salary cap wasn't for me. It wasn't there for me yet.
Well, you certainly heard a lot about it, you know, and one of the great highlights of Benedictine football in the history and the tradition of the school. And, you know, certainly that's one of the things that I'm sure some of the guys ahead of you talked about, the national championship game. How cool is that?
It was amazing. It was amazing to be a part of. I'd never been a part of anything like that in my life. And especially for my first year being here, being able to experience that, being able to see what a championship team looks like and acts like, has been a real positive for me. And being able to carry it on to the the team that I have now, especially since I'm the last one left in my class. So I'm the last one that was part of that 2018 class that's left here right now on the team, and being able to take some of the characteristics that I saw from that team and bring it on down the line have been great.
So along with Garrett, you also know Schaefer.
Oh, yeah. I know Schaefer. Yeah, good dude.
So, and with that said, you know, you probably got to watch him in practice and, you know, maybe emulate some of the things that he did, too.
Yep, he was a great leader for that team. And I still, to this day, take some of the things that he had taught me, sitting in the quarterback room, just observing his actions on the field. You know, being the quarterback, everyone's got the eyes on you. So, being able to watch Schaefer and how he conducted himself was really nice and something that I still carry with me today.
Let's go back to the personal side of Luke Leskowski. Everybody knows football guy, and you've talked to us about, you know, your education and how you're moving along and got the engineering degree, and that's going to be the future for you. But are there any other hidden skills, talents? Are there any things that you can do? I mean, you're an instrument, or you're an operatic singer. I mean, a race car driver. What else is there that we don't even know?
I've actually played guitar since I was about 8 or 9 years old. So I've been kind of on and off with it, but I've been playing since I was about 8 or 9.
And so, have you performed? I mean, been in a band? I mean, are you just tell me about it?
I used to perform every year when I was younger. I'd go to every year they'd call it, it was for fiddlers and pickers, what they called it. And so I'd go and I'd compete there every year. I had a guitar teacher back at home. It was fun. And, you know, I'm glad I did it because it's still something I can do this day. Just what I do now is if I hear a song and like it, I just hop on YouTube, type in the tutorial, and just pick it up and learn it.
So you could actually pick up the guitar and strum out the tune. It's one of those skills, you know, at the post game get together that you can, you know, that you can get around the campfire with the guys, right?
Yeah, we might have to do that sometimes this year.
Well, when you are, you know, getting ready for the games, we talked about, you know, the pregame rituals and stuff, but also as this team gets ready for the games, I look out here and I think, my gosh, I don't know if it's ever been as deep with talent as you've got today. I mean, they're the running backs, the receivers. We talk about the incredible speed you've got. I can think of immediately off the top three tight ends, big, strong guys. I mean, this team has a lot of promise. Tell me about how this team's feeling.
Yep, this team, I can tell you, is locked in. We've been here. You know, we had over 100 guys here during the summer.
Were you one of those guys?
Yeah.
And what'd you do? What'd you do through the summer? Did you have a job?
No, I didn't. I had an internship over in Kansas City, but I chose not to do it. It was just too far of a drive, so I just stuck around here and just did the workouts in the morning. And just kind of relaxed and, you know, went over the playbook every now and then. It was nice.
And when we talk about receivers, you know, and the great speed, you got guys with breakaway speed downfield. And with an RPO, it's got to be really hard because you got to make a decision. And from what I observe, and I know nothing about this game, you're having to throw that ball before that guy ever makes that last break and makes that look back for the ball. I mean, you have to be in real coordination with your teammates.
Yep. No, the decisions have to be quick, especially at this level in the heart. It's a fast baseball game, and, you know, every Saturday we have to come out and be ready. You know, we don't really have too much room, too much window for mistakes.
In practice, you work on, I mean, you've got to be working on that a lot. Are you satisfied with how that has all gone so far?
Yeah, it's been great. I think, you know, we're growing as a team. It's a new team this year. So, you know, there's going to be hiccups along the road, but, you know, we've done really good at closing those gaps, becoming more of one of a unit out there. And, you know, I'm really excited to see what we can do.
Teams in the past have been really tight. And by tight, I mean close-knit. You know, like the guys hang out and they're pals, not just on the field in the uniforms, but off the field. Got that same thing going on here right now?
Of course. Yeah, all summer, man. We were, you know, hanging out. This is one of the more tighter-knit teams that I've been a part of. Like I said, I'm the last guy on the team from my class, so, you know, some of my buddies that I came here with and grew up with were gone, but still the brotherhood is still there. You know, it didn't feel like anything changed for me.
Young guys come up to you and say, Grandpa Luke, man, what should I be doing here now?
And the amount of old jokes that I hear is just, it's getting absurd. It's getting absurd, but I love it.
But the good news is your beard, at least, is not quite like mine.
That's true. It might have to come off, though. It's too hot right now.
Any last thoughts? I mean, you come to Benedictine, and you talked about how, you know, they recruited you, and they wanted you, and the fit is so good. Got the major that you wanted. I mean, if you are going to be giving advice to, you know, some young, there's a high school guy who's listening to the game, and I'm going to tell you there are hundreds of them right now listening. What kind of advice are you giving a young guy right now who's thinking about playing college ball? What should they do?
Yeah, go for it. Do not sell yourself short. Things are not going to always work out in your favor, but it's up to you to determine if you're going to keep grinding through it, keep your head down, work, and, you know, things are going to pay off for you in the end, and that's true. And, you know, I wouldn't change coming here for the world. I love this place. I was able to get the major that I've always wanted to get, like you said. I've gotten to play football with some of my best friends. I've gotten to hang out with my best friends, you know, outside of football.
Got a job lined up for after season?
Not yet. I got a few offers, but I have not accepted anything quite yet.
Okay, one last question. This may be the hardest one of all before we let you go. Luke Laskowski, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. Pick one.
We'll go with Spider-Man.
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 There you go. Luke Laskowski, Benedictine quarterback. Great to have you with us. I appreciate the time, man. Best of luck and go Ravens.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me, Tom.
More Sports Look here on KAIR Radio, KAIR-FM, Horton, Atchison. Gus, going to the rapid fire segment. First of all, we keep on that football theme, the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay? They're finally going to get underway.
Yeah, what? A week from tonight, we'll be sitting here probably racing out of here trying to get ready for the Chiefs to, you know, go ahead and hang that banner. It's upon us, but lots of questions to be answered, though, between here and next Thursday night, and that is, you know, make sure that, I know they had the cuts, we got to 53, but just because you made the initial 53, there's a reason they call it the initial 53, right? There'll be a handful of moves and changes and things that they're going to do over the next little bit to try to get this team to where they want it to be. One of the big questions, though, is Chris Jones, right? Where are you looking at him as being, is he going to be a part of this team for week one, week two? Is he going to hold out till week eight? I mean, I feel like there's a lot of questions on that Chris Jones front right now.
Yeah, and part of it is, you know, is dealt with the roster clutch. Who are going to be, you know, who are going to be the players that you're going to be looking at now? And it's some interesting stuff, and I don't really understand all of the, you know, all the intricacies of it, but if Chris is not on that starting roster, then you can, like, kind of tuck him aside. His money doesn't play toward the cap. And, you know, there's all kinds of little funny things that happen with some of the big money deals.
Yeah, you know, and that's why you have your capologist on the staff, because there are people that's all they do, sit around and figure out, okay, here's how we can restructure money here, and if we put him on this list, he doesn't hurt us, but yet he can always come back whenever he's ready. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money and a lot of just intricacies that go into putting this roster together. It's not just throw a board together and say, yeah, I like these 53 guys here. It's, okay, but how do they fit within the framework of my team and my money available?
Okay, let's start right at the top. Kansas City kept two quarterbacks. Thought maybe they would have kept all three, but they did not. In fact, along with Patrick Mahomes, they did not keep who I thought they would keep. But they kept Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, Shane Bichelle is one of those guys that a lot of people thought the Chiefs would pick or keep, but I think they would like to bring him back. I feel like there's going to be a team out there, maybe the Patriots is one of those teams, who will say, hey, come here, we got a shot for you. Bichelle was good, but I also think that, you know, at the end of the day, Gabbert just played better in the final game.
There you go. Running backs, Isaiah Pacheco, Jerick McKinnon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Looks like they just reshuffled the deck.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing that you expected. Generic Prince, the undrafted free agent that a lot of people thought would make the team, and he was an easy lock. Well, he kind of stumbled down the end of training camp. I think you would try to bring him back, if possible, on a practice squad type deal, and I would expect him to come back.
Yeah, and again, Kansas City, they kept 7 wide receivers, 10 offensive linemen, and so they had to make it up somewhere. Keeping 3 running backs was ultimately what they did. Fullbacks, the era is over.
Yeah, so this is like the first time that Andy Reid has gone into the season not carrying a fullback. Now, you're going to see some fullback sets. I think that you're going to have the tight ends, Noah Gray and Blake Bell, kind of fill into that fullback role. I still think you're going to see some two-back sets this year.
They're going to keep Kadarius Toney, Valdez-Scantling, Sky Moore, Justin Watson, Richie James, Rashee Rice, and Justin Ross made the team.
Yeah, Justin Ross put together a really good preseason, and I'm telling you, a 6'4 receiver who can go up and get the back corner fade never goes out of style, right?
And he was the guy, I think, probably the last guy in, the seventh guy that they were able to keep tight ends. Again, reshuffling the deck with Kelsey, Gray, and Bell. And on the O-line, some names that you love, like Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. And then there guys, Nick Allegretti. There's guys that, I don't know, Wanya Morris, Mike Caliendo, I don't know.
Yeah, Mike Caliendo is, I think, the name that you kind of sit there and you say, well, okay. I mean, he was the name that kind of got through. But with him getting in, Juwan Taylor, Prince Tega Waganoga is one of those guys that I think is actually going to be a little better than you think. Wanya Morris, though, is the big name here, right? He is your fourth-round pick, third-round pick out of Oklahoma. He was a right tackle for them. I think he can swing both sides. I think he's really the guy in a year, 2 years, that all of a sudden becomes a big name for you.
The guy who's got the job that I would want to have is James Winchester.
Yeah, right? Like, the Chiefs have been fortunate over the years, right? You had Kendall Gammon for so many years. You never had to worry about him. You paid him whatever he needed, and you moved on. Winchester has kind of been that same guy, right? He has come in, been solid, does a great job at what he does, and you never have to really worry about him. So.
And the Chiefs got four guys under contract that are not being counted on the active roster. Sadly, lost for the season, Joey Fortson, and one of the tight ends, and Nazee Johnson. You got Chris Jones, of course, in the did not report list, and an exemption for Charles Omenhu.
Yeah, so Omenhu is one of those guys who, right now, I don't know if you check out his social media, he's enjoying his suspension, okay? And it's good for him. He can't be around the team. You might as well do something. You're not going to sit around Kansas City for the next 5 weeks. So, you know, enjoying a little downtime. He'll be a decent addition to the team when he gets back, and you hope to not have any future issues with him in the league office going forward.
Other things going on around the country, the Royals continue to struggle, and now they're going to host Boston.
Sitting back, they won like maybe a game since we were last on here, right? Like, they've been a team that has gone so up and down at times, and I think right now it feels like as we get to the end of the season, some of these young guys are really struggling with the length of a season, and I think that's really our biggest problem at the moment.
So we'll see how many 100-plus the Royals end up dropping here this year. Hey, but there is college football tonight. Florida is going to be at number 14 at Utah tonight, a 7 o'clock ball game with, how about that, Utah minus 4.
Yeah, Utah a 4-point favorite, the over-under at 43.5. I think Florida's just young, and it's one of those teams where you've got a second-year head coach, but I wouldn't be shocked if Florida goes into Utah and wins that game tonight.
And Colorado. Everybody's so curious now. Colorado's got a big following, okay? And now they are going to be up against a really tough team at TCU down in Fort Worth.
Yeah, next year this will be a conference game, right?
Yes.
Colorado back to where they belong in the Big 12. They never felt right in the Pac-12, 10, whatever you want to call the Pac conference. It will be no longer after this. But yeah, everybody's interested to see what Dion can do with that team. TCU is going to be good, right? The number 17 team in the country. TCU only a 20.5-point favorite in that thing. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if Coach Prime can move up to the big time.
Kansas State, in very Kansas State-like fashion, takes a lesser team in week one. They got SEMO coming in.
Yeah, so Southeast Missouri State, we've seen their quarterback. Remember when he was at Central Methodist 2 years ago? He was like breakout player of the year last year in their conference, and so it'll be a good quarterback. K-State, though, just going to be way too much for Southeast Missouri State. So, again, it'll be just kind of a nice little party at Bill Snyder Family Stadium Saturday night at 6 o'clock.
And Kansas, Coach Leipold taking a page right out of that book, they have got Missouri State coming in.
right?
You know, they share a bus as they come across Kansas?
Yeah, you know, Kansas schools, you know, beating up on Missouri schools, I don't have any problem with it. But, yeah, Coach Leipold and his club going to get started tomorrow night or Friday night, 7 p.m. KU, is it weird going into the season with some expectations?
It is.
Like, it's a good feeling, but it's weird that you actually expect a little out of this Kansas team.
And if you need some Sunday football and the NFL hasn't started yet, just turn to the SEC. They will provide.
Yeah, going to be in Orlando. Number 5, LSU, will be taking on number 8, Florida State. 6:30 game, LSU a 2.5-point favorite, over-under. My kind of game, 56.5.
Hey, again, don't forget, coming up on Care Radio tomorrow night, we're going to start the high school football season. Atchison at Ottawa, a 7 o'clock kickoff right here live on Care. Saturday afternoon, 12:45 for the pregame, and it's a 1 o'clock Benedictine kickoff. They've got the Pride of Clark coming into Wilcox Stadium. You'll have that all live here on KAIR. Got to thank Hamada Wealth Management and Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, Taco John's. And with that said, till we see you at the ballpark, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.